We're in 1 Kings chapter 7, verse 23 through 39. This is still continuing on, of course, in Solomon's description of the stuff that he built. He made the sea of cast metal, 10 cubits from one rim to the other rim, circular all around. 5 cubits its height, a 30-cubit line could encircle all around. There were knobs all around, surrounding it, 10 cubits girding the sea all around, and 2 rows of knobs, which were cast with the casting of the sea. It stood upon 12 oxen, 3 facing north, 3 facing west, 3 facing south, and 3 facing east. The sea was on top of them. Their haunches were toward the center of the sea. Its thickness was 1 hand breadth. Its rim was like the rim of a cup, with rose blossom design. Its capacity was 2,000 bath measures. Then he made 10 copper stands, 4 cubits the length of each stand, 4 cubits its width, and 3 cubits its height. This was the workmanship of the stands. They had frames and more frames between the rods, and on the frames which were between the rods were engraved lions, oxen, and cherubim. There was a base upon the rods above them. Under the lions and the oxen there were braces of hammered metal. There were 4 copper wheels to each stand and copper boards that had shafts at their 4 corners. The shafts were cast under the basin, opposite each of the embracing couples. The opening of the base extended from inside the capital of the stand, 1 cubit upward. Its opening was round, like the shape of the stand, 1.5 cubits. There were designs upon the rim also. The frames were square, not circular. As for the 4 wheels that were under the frames, the axles of the wheels were built into the stand, and the height of each wheel was 1.5 cubits. The workmanship of the wheels was like the workmanship of the chariot's wheel. Their axles, their hubs, their rims, and their spokes were all made of cast copper. There were 4 shafts at the 4 corners of each stand. From the stands its shafts came. At the top of the stand, the 0.5 cubit of height was circular all around, and on top of the stand, its rods, its frames were from it. And he engraved upon the tablets of its boards and upon its frames cherubim, lions, and palms, like a man's embracing, all around. Thus he did for the 10 stands, 1 casting, 1 measure, 1 form for all of them. Then he made 10 copper levers. Each lever had a capacity of 40 bath measures. Each lever was 4 cubits high. There was 1 lever for each of the 10 stands. He placed the stands, 5 at the side of the temple to the right, and 5 at the side of the temple to its left. And he placed the sea at the right of the temple, eastward, opposite the south. That's as far as we're reading in this section. We'll read about more of the stuff later. Before we go into this, what the details are written here and why we're reading this detail, are there any questions regarding what we just read, regarding this description? Of course, it is naturally Solomon's design, but Hiram, the man from either Naphtali or Dan, the middle of which tribe, is the one who's actually building and working with this metal. Now, I realize my book refers to most of the metal being copper, versus I'm sure vast majority of your Bibles refer to bronze. Copper and bronze in Hebrew is the same word, so it doesn't matter which one you wish to call it. And it's the same metal, as far as they're concerned. Any questions or comments regarding this? Yes, Rose.
The 40th guy in that cup.
The 40th guy. The 40 bath measures, yes. heads up, a bath measure is it's debatable on its exact capacity. We know it is at least 6 gallons. It's a bath measure. At least 6 gallons. Some argue, well, it could have been as high as 12, but 6 is the most common number. And actually, this book, the way it describes it here, supports most likely a 6-gallon measure for a bath. So the 40 baths aren't actually like, you know, full-size bath. You're not going to, you know, take a bath. Well, you could take a bath in 6 gallons, just a small, you know, sponge bath or something. But typically, no. A bath measure is not what we think of a bath measure. It's about about 6 gallons is pretty reasonable. Any other comments or questions regarding this?
Is there significance to the ox?
The ox. Yes. In the sea, the cast sea, right, which it says the cast sea, it's a very large tub of water. There are obviously 12 oxen underneath it. Now, they are orientated in such a way to match or mimic the orientation of the traveling of the Ark of the Covenant after it was done traveling. Back in Moses' time, when the Ark stood still, was done, they built a temple or the tabernacle. All 12 tribes are broken up. There are 3 on this side, 3 on that side, north, south, east, and west. They are broken up in that fashion, and this is designed purposely to mimic that imagery. Now, we'll discuss why shortly from now, as far as what the gain of that is. So those oxen each represents one of those tribes, and they are orientated in that fashion. Now, note, the oxen, they are faced outward. They're not actually looking at the tub. They're actually pointing, their backs are to it, so they're facing outward. In the camping, when Moses was traveling, the tribes, their military might was not close to the temple. It was out the outer rims, because they were designed for guarding it. So all your strength, which is what a bull represents, which is strength, is at the outer rims facing outward, and all the your back is taken care of by God. So your family is behind you, what's important is behind you. The enemy is out in front, so you face outward. Again, the oxen are designed precisely to give you that imagery, and we'll discuss a lot more detail about that, because the hint as to what this bath means is given to us in the stand. Any other questions or comments? No, sorry, my drawing here, I'll explain my drawing here, or both drawings, actually. So I'm not the greatest artist. We already discussed the critiquing of this earlier. So this is supposed to be my, quote, the sea. It's a 10 cubits diameter, 5 cubits height. Now, I know those of you who know geometry, it says there's a 30 cubit line goes all the way around. Well, that's not possible. We know, the circumference, the diameter times pi, cannot be 30 cubits. So we think. We'll discuss that shortly. It depends on how you read the text. And you find out actually it does exactly what it means exactly what it says. But 10 cubit diameter normally would be 31 cubit circumference all around, 31.4 cubits. But that's been how you measure it, because it gives you the hint as to why it says 30 and not 31. But anyway, so its diameter essentially is twice the height. So you have a general idea of its capacity. And it just so happens at 6 gallons per bath, the capacity is 12,000 gallons. Is there a coincidence why 12,000 might be a value? Yeah, I would say there probably is. Yes, Ellie.
I'm not sure. What are we doing with that?
What are we doing with that? With a big bath. Why do we have a big old bath in the temple, right? That is given to us by Moses, instructed us with this. We'll discuss what Moses told us to do, or told Solomon to do regarding this big sea. It's called a sea because 12,000 gallons is a whole bunch of water. It's a lot of water. It's a huge tub. It's round. It's not square. So it has strength and stability because square has problems. I probably shouldn't mention, but I'll say it anyway. In Judaism, they don't like the fact that it says round, because they assume that a bath is not 6 gallons. They assume it's 6.7 or 12, in which case the physical capacity of 2,000 baths can't fit in a round system. So they assume the top's round to make the rest of it square and really bigger. they cheat. Because in order to make it work, as opposed to assuming 6 gallons, then yeah, the round is exact. For those of you who wish to crunch some math, you're certainly welcome to. You don't really have to, but it's not that terribly critical. So the key is to why it all fits, because Judaism says, it would have to be 13,000 gallons to make it fit here. It can't fit, blah, blah, blah. It's an absurd way of doing their math. Is that the key in this is that it's 10 cubits diameter and 5 cubits height with a thickness of a hand breadth. So what's the interior dimension? It's 10 cubits outside diameter. We'll go on the inside, then what is it? So it's 5 cubits tall, but the bottom is a hand breadth thick, so it's actually 5 cubits minus a hand breadth is the actual volume set. So when you go inside dimension, what's the inside rim? Exactly 30 cubits in diameter, or circumference. So it's the screwy math that messes them up. They assume the 30 cubits had to go on the outside. It doesn't say that. It just says it went around. Well, 30 cubits is exact inside if the thickness was one hand breadth. And those of you who are not aware, this defines, essentially this description of a C, defines a cubit to being equivalent to 20 inches in this measure. That's what it winds up being. In order to get the math to work out, a cubit is exactly 20 inches. Not 19, not 21, not 18. It's 20. And that corresponds to a cubit being divisible by 5 hand breadths. Exactly. Because your hand breadth is 4 inches. That's what it is. So a hand breadth is 4 inches. Cubit is times 5, 20 inches long. That's the length of a cubit. Now, I know that various people's bodies are different. My cubit, it happens to be a hair over 19 inches. Somebody may be of slightly different in length, but it doesn't really matter. That's just how dimension works. I know that, I'm sure people, no offense, Carrie, they have shorter, or my father's really short. Short hand breadth. But, no, I'm just harassing you guys. I mean, it's a good fun. Okay, yeah, so 2,000 baths, that's just the generalized size. It says it has rows of knobs all around the outside or markings. In Chronicles, records those knobs as saying oxen. The knobs are oxen, or shaped like ox, like oxes all the way around on the outside of him. We don't know whether they're round, not because, it says Kings, the knob actually means circular, it means a round, circular thing. So in Kings it says it's circular, in Chronicles it says it's oxen. I can't argue which one's which. No, these actually record them slightly different too, as far as how many. Yes, Carrie.
I wonder if it was kind of like a 3D
Aleph. What was that?
I wonder if it was kind of like a 3D Aleph.
That would make sense.
3D what?
3D Aleph, the Aleph letter. It's like a three-dimensional version of the Aleph, which is what an ox is supposed to look like. So that would make sense, because it would be round with little horns on it, which was the ancient ox or Aleph would look like. So it really could be both. In which case, it's round and it's an ox shape. Now, this records in 1 Kings, records there were 10 cubits distance on the marks. In Chronicles, it says it was 10 per cubit. So if you go circumference, they had every cubit had 10 of these little things all around it in two rows. Now, the drawback is, we know the interior dimension, and the outside dimension, because we don't know if it was 10 per cubit or not, we don't exactly know how many oxen there were. They have a general idea, but not exact. There were a few hundred. I'm not going to go into the numbers of that, because that's going to be on the scope of what I want to talk about today, because there's something different I want to discuss today. But that's a general idea of how it looked like. The ox apparently were about full size, or near full size, of what an ox would look like. Because note, a 10 cubit, that's about 30, no, sorry, it's 20 feet, whatever. It's not quite 20 feet, it's like 18 feet, whatever, diameter. That's a fairly large bath. Now, 18 foot diameter, how big is an ox? So what? Their backside, 6 feet, give or take? So yeah, you could fit a wall in there quite easily. So the ox, it's about a full size or near a full size animal as far as what this appears to be. I'll discuss why. Actually, I might discuss right now. What is the water used for? Well, let's go to Exodus, because Exodus tells you what the water is used for. This was God's command, or Moses is the one, obviously, who was doing it. Exodus chapter 30. Yeah, we'll do chapter 30. Starting out in verse 17. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "You shall also make a laver of bronze, with its base also of bronze for washing. You shall put it between the tabernacle of meeting and the altar. You shall put water in it, for Aaron and his sons shall wash their hands and their feet in water from it, when they go into the tabernacle of meeting, or when they come near the altar to minister, to burn a burnt offering made by fire to the Lord. They shall wash with water, lest they die. So they shall wash their hands and their feet, lest they die. And it shall be a statute forever to them, to him and his descendants throughout their generations. In Exodus 38, because it's a little bit minor detail, which is, something worth mentioning. It's 38, verse 8, it points out that he, referring to Moses, made this laver of bronze and its base of bronze from the bronze mirrors that the women who were serving had assembled at the door of the tabernacle meeting. So all their mirrors were made out of bronze. He used those to make this big this bath. Now, it doesn't give us the dimensions here in Exodus. We don't know how big it was. It had to be portable. So it wasn't that big because they had to move around with it. But it was only for Aaron and the priests to wash their hands and feet, so it didn't have to be very large. But in Solomon's time, how many priests are there? Hundreds. Hundreds of priests. There's only one high priest per time because David set up one high priest every 2 weeks. Switch high priests. Or switch the priesthood. But we'll discuss that at a later date. But so there were lots of them, but there were lots of sacrifices going on too. And how many other Levites had to do the priestly work? Hundreds of them, because you needed hundreds. So how much water do you need? Everybody has to wash their hands. Everybody has to wash their feet. You need lots and lots of water. That's what water was used for. Now, if you recall, Joshua, when he had the Gibeonites, and made their fake deal, pretending they were from another country, and Joshua said, okay, fine, we won't fight against you. Oh, oops, no, you are. You're actually neighbors. You lied to us, yada, yada, yada. You are now wood choppers and water bearers for all eternity. You are now servants. Well, how much water can they possibly need? Apparently a lot. In Solomon's case, a whole lot. A lot of water. So we know what it's used for, washing hands and feet, when you're coming for a burnt offering or offered incense to the Lord, lest you die. It also records in Exodus chapter 40, discusses this base the water itself again. Exodus 40, starting in verse 29, and he, referring to Moses, put the altar of burnt offering before before the door of the tabernacle of the tent of meeting, and offered upon it burnt offering and grain offering as the Lord had commanded Moses. He set this laver between the tabernacle of meeting and the altar, and put water there for washing. And Moses and Aaron and his sons washed their hands and their feet with water from it. When they went into the tabernacle of meeting, and when they came near the altar, they washed, as the Lord commanded Moses. He raised up the court all around the tabernacle of the altar, and hung it up the screening of the court gate, so Moses finished the work. So we have a general idea of what this water is used for. You go before God, wash yourself. Wash your hands, wash your feet. That's its function. So that's what Solomon did. He built a big old massive a pool, essentially a bathtub, something like a pool, to do that.
Was this a pool to get into or take water out of to do the washing?
Take water out of. You do not get into the bath for any reason. This big pool is not a swimming tub. No dive board, go, woo, cannonball. It's not designed for that purpose. You take water out of it. You do not put anything in it, other than, of course, clean water. It's not yet. It is not that it is. We'll discuss, pretend right now. The reason is because when they took water out of it, where did they put the water? Would they just hold it in their hands? Take a basin, and where'd they put it? The stands. Solomon made 10 stands. And on those stands were little lavers. And they carried how many baths? 40. Yeah, the sink. So you take the water out of the big sea, and you fill it in the small bath, the laver on the stand, which had wheels. Let's haul a wheel over here. Walking around. Your turn to wash. Okay, next guy. That's the whole process. You take portions of the large sea out in the smaller containers. You carry that to the various priests to wash whatever they need to wash. Now, granted, there were other things that had to be washed too, not just this. The supplies had to be washed, they had to be sanctified, but even some of the animal sacrifices had to be washed. What did they use to wash them with? This. These little small containers full of water. They take the water out of here, use not just to wash their hands, but they use these small containers to wash the animal sacrifices as well. Sometimes their entrails, in certain cases, their entrails had to be washed, sometimes the skins had to be washed. Whatever else had to be done, sometimes it had to be washed. And of course, obviously, the utensils used to do this work had to be washed periodically. That's what these functions are. That those little stands are for. We know the man, his name is Joshua. The poor Gibeonites, not really poor. you actually have Levites. The Levites' job was to continuously get buckets of water and bring it up into it. The sea didn't move. There were no wheels on it. It wasn't designed to transport. It's enormous. You know how many guys you have, and considering these oxen are bronze and thick, you know, 4-inch thick wall bronze, good luck picking that thing up. A crane would have a hard time picking that thing up. How'd they fill it? And then she just asked. Levites' jobs were to not just chop wood and do water. They do water too. They have work. During the week, shock of all shocks, they actually worked too. You have to refill these things. You have to, and guess what happens when a bird goes by and poops in it? Oh, bummer. Drag that thing out. Clean it up. You don't want to mess with that. Things happen. How many honeybees or insects are hot? So, ooh, look at that. Nice water. We'll go drink at it. Probably, we don't know if it was a kind of cover. They could have done a blanket over it. It makes no difference. The point is that there's maintenance involved. No, this is not inside. This is out in the the tabernacle was open, but even the temple actually is also open. Is he discussed where he placed it? I think he did. Oh, I thought he did rattle off where he placed it. But yes, he placed, yeah. See, at the right side of the temple, eastward, yeah, he split both sides, these 10 stands, put 5 on each side, and the sea was also on the right-hand side. Well, the temple, when you first walk in, doesn't have a ceiling yet. Where all this stuff is at, there is no roof, not until you go in further, into where actually the saints, where the altars are, that's where the roof starts. So the first part of the temple didn't have a roof. So all the stuff, when you first walk in to wash yourself before you go into the rest of the sanctuary, guess what? It's open. You gotta water it. You gotta wash it. Rain can fill it up too. It's hard to say. I'm not gonna debate how. Yeah, he's not gonna say how they necessarily filled it every single time. But that's how they filled it mostly. Okay, so far we have a general idea of what these things were made. Makes sense? Any questions so far? Yes.
I'm jumping ahead. What? I type in shadow with Yeshua washing feet with his disciples.
Sort of. We'll discuss that. Well, might as well start right now. Okay. Since no other significant questions regarding this, how much detail was given regarding these little stands?
A lot.
Question. How much detail do I need to say, I made a cart with 4 wheels that carries water? I made a cart with 4 wheels that carries water. 10 words. A cart, 4 wheels, carries water. Done. Simple. There's a lot of detail in this little stand. It's a cart, a wagon. You grab it and you pull it. The store for like, you know, $50, maybe $100. I haven't priced them out for a while. But they're not that expensive. And the ones at the store, the wheels in front turn. These 4 wheels are fixed. They don't rotate. They go one way. There's no steering, no nothing. Try to turn that thing around. Oh, good luck. Talk about like a 40-point turn. Okay, haul here. And it's made out of bronze. It's heavy, too. And full of water, you don't move it very easily. It goes forward. It goes back. That's pretty much all it really does. It's probably all pointed generally toward the sea. So you're going to shove it backwards, fill it up, and pull it toward. So the wheels are kind of aimed. No, I'm joking on purpose because that's the key behind it. The wheels don't turn. No, that's your clue number one. The wheels don't turn. Clue number one, as far as what these stands are, is because the wheels don't turn. First clue. Second clue, what's on this stand? What's decorated? What's it decorated with? Lions, oxen, man's embracing, which is a bit of what that actually means, cherubim or palms. They're all different parts of the stand are decorated with those things. What should those things, as your second clue, remind you of? Okay, a lion, an ox, a man, cherubim. Ezekiel chapter 1 is what it should bring you to. And Revelation, because Ezekiel chapter 1 and Revelation. Yeah, let's go to Ezekiel chapter 1 first. We'll go to Revelations later. Chapter 1, starting in verse 4. This is a little bit of reading, so bear with me. Then I looked, and behold, a whirlwind was coming out of the north, a great cloud with rage fire engulfing itself. And brightness was all around it, and radiating out from its mists was like the color of amber out of the midst of the fire. What is the color of amber, by the way? Gold. What color is bronze? Oh, how interesting. Also from within it came the likeness of four living creatures, and this was their appearance. It had the likeness of a man, each one had four faces, each one had four wings. Their legs were straight, and the soles of their feet were like the soles of calves' feet. They sparkled like the color of burnished bronze. Sound familiar so far? All right, a little bit. I see the bronze. I see, you know, this, you know, four. That's about it. They had hands of a man under their wings, and on their four sides, each the four faces and wings. Their wings touched one another. The creatures did not turn when they went, but each one went straight forward. What does that look like? That has no, the wheels don't turn. As for the lights of their faces, each one had the face of a man, each the face of a lion, each the face of an ox, and each the face of an eagle. And the eagle's not quite the same as a cherubim, but they're actually quite similar in their nature. Thus were their faces. Their wings were stretched upward. The two wings, each one touched one another and covered their bodies. Each one went straight forward. They went wherever the Spirit wanted to go. They did not turn when they went. Do those carts turn? No. As for the likeness of the living creatures, their appearance was like the burning coals of fire, and the appearance of torches, fire was going back and forth among the living creatures, and the fire was bright, and out of the fire went lightning. And the living creatures ran back and forth in appearance like a flash of lightning. Now as I looked to the living creatures, behold, a wheel was on the earth beside each living creature, with its four faces. The appearance of wheels at their works was like the color of a barrel, and all four the same likeness. The appearance of their works was as it were, a wheel in the middle of a wheel. When they went toward any of one of four directions. They did not turn aside when they went. What does that mean? The wheels don't turn. They went in direction, but the wheels don't turn. Again, it points to that little stand. It's designed the same way. As their rims, they were also high. They were awesome, and their rims were full of eyes all around the four of them. When the living creatures went, the wheels went beside them. When the living creatures were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up. Wherever the Spirit wanted to go, they went. Because the Spirit went and the wheels, they were lifted together with them. The Spirit of the living creatures was in the wheels. When those went, these went. When those stood, these stood. When those were lifted up in the earth, the wheels were lifted up together with them. For the Spirit of the living creatures was in the wheels. Let's see, on the rest of it. Why not? The lights of the firmament above the heads of living creatures, this is a little bit tricky, I'll explain this in a minute, we'll read it anyway, was the likeness of a color of an awesome crystal stretched out over their heads. Under the firmament, their wings spread out straight, one toward another. Each one had two which covered one side, and each one had two which covered the side of the body. When they went, I heard the noise of their wings like the noise of many waters, like the voice of an almighty, a tumult, like the noise of an army. When they stood still, they went down their wings. A voice came from above the firmament that was over their heads. Whenever they stood, they let down their wings. And above the firmament over their heads was the likeness of a throne in appearance, like a sapphire stone on the likeness of the throne was the likeness of the appearance of a man high above it. Also from the appearance of his waist and upward I saw, as it were, the color of amber with the appearance of fire all around within. And from the appearance of his waist downward I saw, as it were, the appearance of fire with brightness all around. Like the appearance of a rainbow in a cloud on a rainy day, so was the appearance of the brightness all around. It was as the appearance and likeness of the glory of God. When I saw it, I fell on my face, and I heard a voice of one speaking. So, after reading this long description, I do realize that, no, they're describing something in Ezekiel different than this stand. There's a lot other stuff in Ezekiel's. There's eyes on the rims, there's the creatures that aren't actually depicted here, so it appears, which they actually are. They don't move, the wheels don't move. Is there a likely probability that Solomon's design here is symbolic of what Ezekiel is seeing? I would say yes. Solomon's design here is mimicked or mirrored an imagery or an idea of what Ezekiel is seeing in his vision. Now, Ezekiel wrote his vision 390 some odd years later. This design was written or built well before Ezekiel was even a twinkle in his great-great-great-grandfather's eye. He was a non-entity yet. But Ezekiel was a priest. He knew what these things were. He knew what he actually had seen them when he was in Jerusalem, before he was captured. He knows exactly what this thing is. So when he sees this imagery, what is he seeing? He's seeing something that mimics this stand.
And what color is that water in the tank? It's sapphire blue.
So, having a little bit of fun with this, discussing these four creatures, Ezekiel sees four creatures that move with the wheels. Does this have four creatures that move with these wheels? Well, there's decorative things, but there's also something right here. A little arrow to it. It's called a shaft. There are four shafts, one at each corner of this cart, right where the wheels are. They go straight up and down. What do? They carry a circle around them, which carries the big 40-bath container of water. So this cart, for all practical purposes, that Solomon designed, is modeled after the throne of God that Ezekiel is seeing, and of course written in Revelations. This is a very similar designed throne. Obviously, Revelation is not going to be the detail that Ezekiel gives you, but it's the same principle. So this design of carrying water, of this little simple cart, that Solomon spent all this effort designing and decorating, make it look like this, make it look like that, he's making so much effort because he's making the throne of God 10 times. Why? Why did he do it? Why did he make a silly cart? Why did he want this cart that carried 40 baths of water to look like God's throne? Had Solomon seen God's throne? Not that we know of. Has anybody?
These carts carried water to the big tub thing?
Away from it.
I was just thinking water often symbolizes God's spirit.
Yes, it does symbolize God's spirit. So what does that mean then? You're on the right track. It does. In the wilderness, when the Israelites camped in Moses' design with the three on each side and the big, what's in the middle of it? The tabernacle. And who's in the tabernacle? God. So in the cows with the big C, yeah, the cows on all four sides. What's in the middle of the cows? A big sea of water. What's the big sea of water then? God. Okay, so the big sea of water represents God in this imagery here of the sea bath. Okay? And then the carts, which is the throne of God, with Ezekiel's imagery, what's on the middle? What's in the middle of this of these four creatures? The basin. It's a voice comes out of the center, and what's it supposed to be representative of? Messiah or God. It's the throne of God. And you got four creatures all side. What's in the middle of the four creatures? God. In Revelations, you got four creatures, one in each corner. What's in the middle? God. You have the 12 cows in this big sea. What's in the middle? God. You have this little cart here that carries 40 baths of water. You have four creatures or shafts plus the four wheels that looks like the throne of God. What's in the middle? God. It's a little version of God. It's the same difference. It's still God. So he's the mini-me version. It's God. It's all God over and over and over and over again. What does it tell you about God? Well, for some reason, God has a fascination of this concept. Water equals God. Now, that's crazy. A spirit is like water. The spirit of God is poured upon all mankind like water. It keeps us alive. Now, don't confuse us with the concept of oil. That's a different problem with anointing. That's different. We're talking the Spirit of God is like water. He's likening himself using Solomon's symbolism, both instances, Moses' symbolism, Ezekiel's symbolism, and of course, John's symbolization. He all points the same thing. You know, it's a big rainbow. What happens with rainbow? Where did this come from? Water. It's all water. God is symbolizing himself as being water. He's using that imagery. And what's he doing with it? Yes. The carriers of water?
Could we be water carriers?
Water carriers.
He's sitting on the throne of my heart, so therefore the Holy Spirit is within me. I could be a laver to where someone could... Whatever's of living
same
water.
Same principle.
Yeah.
Oh.
I was just going to add something. The word water is mayim, which is always plural. So it's water. Not water, it's waters.
Yes.
You can't say water. You have to say waters.
Fair enough. Technically, she's right. It is waters. And right, there's 10 here. Regarding the imagery of, once water is in you, yes, it comes forth. So in that concept, using that imagery alone, it would imply that if you're carrying God's Spirit within you, you have water within you. You are the same thing as God's throne. That we've discussed over and over and over and over and over again already, the temple of God that Solomon built, that of course Ezekiel sees and John sees, is not a brick and mortar building, as Solomon's obviously was, but the other two are not. Rather, it's built of human beings. People construct and create all this massive temple that Ezekiel talks about. So what would that mean that this little stands are? It's indicative of what you're referring to, that it's carrying God's water. To do what? To cleanse the priest's hands and their feet, and to wash the sacrifices, certain parts, when need to be washed. That's their work. That's their function. So when you read Revelation's story and discusses the seals and talks about the four creatures, and they say, come and see, come and see, come and see, what does that tell you that God's telling John? I'm cleaning with water. It's time to clean. Because the four creatures are the ones who are talking to John, at least initially, doing the seal part. Who is he cleaning? Kings? No. Priests? Yes. He's cleaning priests. That's what God's doing in that book.
What section in Revelations are you referring to?
The first four seals.
Which chapter?
I'm trying to remember what chapter it is. first four seals. It's like, I don't think I even wrote that down, honestly. I have to find that. Revelation chapter 6, I guess it is. Yeah, chapter 6. The first four seals. And so each creature discusses and talks to him, come and see, come and see, come and see. So God's using himself, his water imagery, to do this cleansing process. So when you have the Spirit of God in you, what are you supposed to do with it? Clean up. Clean your hands, clean your feet. Clean your sacrifice. Because some sacrifice will be clean as well. Each time you go before God, what are you doing? What would the priests had to do? Wash your hands, wash your feet. Else you'll die. God will kill you. Does that make sense? So the immense detail that Solomon gave here, as well as here with the sea bath, and of course, the little 40 bath thing that sits on top of this cart that doesn't move or doesn't turn. It's all designed to give you the same imagery, the same explanation. They are designed to give you that God's job or the Spirit of God is a process of cleansing your hands and your feet. That's the water. That's the imagery you're supposed to be getting from that. The God's Spirit cleanses your hands and your feet. What you do where you go is the way of looking at it. The Word of God cleansing you. Well, God itself is supposed to. Go ahead. Yeah, sorry. In oil, okay. Don't try to get my imagery a little messed up here. It's a little hard in my own head. So if the imagery were given to bring before God to offer or to do any service at all, you have to have what you do has to be clean, and where you go, your feet have to be clean. You yourself, that's your job as a priest. Well, if you have living water inside of you, meaning if you're going to pretend or imagine yourself as one of these little stands carrying water, you don't turn to the right or to the left. You only go forward and backwards. Never turn. You always face the same way. Well, yeah. Okay. Minor detail. You only go forward. Oh, all right. That's splitting hairs. The point is that you don't turn right or left. You only go forward or go back. You only have one direction. You don't change direction. Now, the throne of God changed direction any way it wanted to, but the wheels and the creatures never faced any other way. They always faced the same way. I'm not sure where they were oriented, north, south, east, or west, but that's just how they were oriented. You orientate the same way. Never change direction. You are cleansed. Your hands, what you do is cleansed. Where you go is clean. Never change where you're facing. Never change where you're going. That's always the same. But God may move you one way that makes no difference. You don't change orientation. You stay the same. You stay clean, stay honorable to His big C back. Another way of looking at it. It's a little bit strange. Now, when you're going into oils and what they do, that's a whole different ballgame. Oil is not associated with these baths. God does not associate His Spirit with oil at all. Sounds strange, but He doesn't. Oil is associated with sight, to see, to understand, to have yourself enlightened or comprehend. The light, knowledge, that's what oil is associated with. That has nothing to do with the Spirit of God. Does that mean God doesn't have knowledge? That's absurd. Of course He does. That's not the point. The Spirit of God's function in this imagery is to cleanse. To make you a good, useful servant. If you're not clean, what good are you? Oil is to make you understand. What does it mean to be clean? How do I be clean? What's the point behind it? What am I supposed to do with it now that I'm clean? That's oil. That's where the lampstands. Now, Solomon builds a bunch of lampstands. We'll talk about those. He has them all scattered around the temple as well. I think he builds 10. I don't remember exactly. A whole bunch of them along the sides. So you will see, too. That's the point. To be in the temple, you have to see also. That's the oil. That's associated to people, what their job is, to see, to understand, to comprehend. Not, I don't have cleanliness, I don't have the Spirit of God in me. That's a different imagery. I know it gets people messed up with the 10 versions thing. They think, oh, well, if the oil of the lamp has to do with, you know, not having the Spirit of God, blah, 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 that's garbage. Nothing to do with that. The oil lamp is not understanding, not comprehending what's happening, not understanding the times, what's supposed to occur, what's not supposed to occur. I'm confused, I'm lost. That's the oil. That has nothing to do with clean. They were all 10 still, quote, virgins, end of quote. They were all still clean. All of them were, none of them were used. Five good, five, they were all still clean. So they were all still had the Spirit of God in them. But five had no comprehension of knowledge. They did not see or understand anything. There's a difference. So try to mix up that imagery of the Spirit of God and oil versus knowledge compared to what God says He is. He is water. I won't go into the physics behind it, but the whole world's made out of pure water. Yeah, even the wood, it's all actually made out of the water molecule that's been condensed and compressed into carbon or various other elements. But that's a whole different physics process, which I won't talk about today. The whole universe is built the same way. So is the sun. Funny. Any other questions or comments? Hold on a minute. A little thing here. Here you go.
I'm sorry. I shouldn't have missed this, but what do these carts do? They bring water from the bath to where?
To the priests. Their job... Oops, sorry. For sure. This bath, the big C, sorry, you're not allowed to go in it. You can't dip your hands in, wash into your arms, that kind of stuff. You don't get to... You would contaminate it. So it is left, to lack of a better term, pure. What can you use... These small carts. You dip your utensils in, you wash something, whether your hands or your feet. You get your hands in there and you use the carts. These carts are designed to carry what is completely pure to you, to purify you. You, as being dirty, do not get to go to what is the ultimate pure source, meaning the sea. You don't get to go here until you've gone through the small cart first. You cleanse yourself first. And even then, you still don't get to touch the sea. It's too holy for you. Yes, sea glasses. There's getting too many imagery going on here. I won't discuss that today. The sea of glass revelations adds a similar nature to the same principle. It's the same concept. It's the same thing.
I was just thinking 10 is an interesting number for something that always goes in the same direction and spreads away from the pool. you know, there's the lost 10 tribes, and there's the gospel going throughout the earth, and the 10 tribes being lost around the earth, and taking the Spirit of God with them.
Explain again the small cart and the large one.
Okay, the small cart is 4 cubits square. So it's not exactly, about 7 square feet. 7 feet to 7 feet. It's about 5 feet tall. So it's about, you know, yay tall. Well, yay tall. Anyway. That's the cart and the container that's on it that you can scoop water out of. Its function, it has wheels that don't turn, don't do any direction at all. They only go forward or backwards. Now, I'm sure you can do like a 400-point turn. That's not the point. The directions, they do not go turn right or left normally. You'd have to work really hard to make that happen. They're designed to point toward this sea. The sea contains the large body of pure water, the 12,000 gallons of pure water. It's the cleansing, holy water, or cleansing water. You would use it for example, the red heifer, the little ash that goes into water. Yeah, that's what's inside this big sea. It's that red heifer is built inside the sea. That's the water where it comes from. That's the pure water. It's designed for purifying for whether you're contaminated by dead bodies or whatever. If you're clean or if you're dirty at all, that's the water source comes from. It comes out of that, meaning the people, a water drawer, in this case would be a Levite, would take water probably using one of the pitchers, which they'll discuss in the rest of chapter 7, some of the utensils they used. Take a pitcher, scoop it in the really big sea, and come it out and dump it into the small containers over here, which are in the carts. The cart's function is to bring pure water, which you cannot touch, into a container which you can and use to cleanse yourself. That's the distinction. God did not want the priests to ever go to the big sea and wash themselves in it. You then contaminate this whole sea with your body or whatever you happen to use or whatever body part you use to scoop the water out of or use. Don't you do that. He wanted, quote, himself, and quote, to stay pure. So God's imagery is his water source is pure and always pure. What he gives to you is a small portion of himself. We have the same imagery of the Spirit of God coming down from heaven in the book of Acts. It's the same imagery, same principle. A small portion of himself is then given to you. Does God become now dirty? No. He stays clean. You were given a piece of him to be inside of you. Does that mean that you could never be dirty again? Well, you have the Spirit of God in you, right? That doesn't matter. You are no different than this container, which can touch clean or unclean. The container is still a container. It's the only thing that's allowed to leave, has a part of God, part of purity inside of it, but it has to go now clean what is unpure. Go clean what this big, massive sea cannot do. It doesn't have wheels. You can't move it, and you don't bring dirtiness to God. That's absurd. You have to bring cleanliness to him only. So he's not going to go seek out what is dirty. That's what the cart's job is. Go find the dirty thing and clean it. The big sea stays pure. Once the dirty thing is now clean, Aaron and his sons, they now get to go see God in the tabernacle, in the Holy of Holies area. That's when cleanliness is now to come to him. I'm hoping this explains a little bit on the imagery that we're seeing here. Any other comments? You hand up.
Well, no, this brought me to the point of Hezekiah. The temple was filthy and dirty, and that must have been also filthy and dirty. They had to clean and purify that thing all up.
Yep.
And so many things had to be done, and that's why they had one month later, he brought in the Levites to do the job because the priests couldn't do it. They were too dirty.
Yep.
That's amazing. Look at this.
That's the point of the imagery. Does this make sense? This is what God's trying to tell us. Just because you have God's Spirit in you doesn't make you pure. Your job now is to go clean up. That's the cart's job. Go clean up. It's designed to make it look like the throne of God, which is essentially what you're designed to make to look like. The same principle. You're designed to look like the same thing. You have eyes all around. The same imagery is given. That's what you're supposed to be like, that throne. Doesn't turn right, doesn't turn left, only goes where God tells it to go. Always faces the same way. It's a complete imagery. Isn't it the principle behind the temple? We're supposed to be the temple of God. He's supposed to dwell within us. What's the throne? Something he dwells in? It's the same repeat over and over and over, repeat it again and again and again. The imagery of the temple, and the imagery of this little cart, the imagery of the big sea, it's all the same image. It's just told to us in different ways, then we finally get it. To finally understand what God's trying to tell us, the same story, again and again and again.